You're listening to Boston Public Radio with Jim Browdy and Marjorie Egan. Open mic we do every day at 1 o'clock. Yesterday was Christopher Lydon. Monday, it's Reverend Eugene Rivers. Tuesday, Charlie Baker. Wednesday, new editor of the Boston Globe, Brian McGorry. Today, it's our GBH colleague from Greater Boston on the TV side, GBH Radio on our side, Emily Rooney. Emily, we're calling this week's edition Transportation Fridays.
That's good. I like that.
With Emily. Now, Emily Rooney.
Be prepared to have them make fun of me. But I'm loaded.
No,
you're loaded.
We speak to the facts.
She's ready to go.
Emily, Friday night, Saturday night, we were all at the same event in Cambridge.
It's a smashing soiree.
A former
soiree.
Colleague of mine, actually my former producer at NECN, who went to Anderson Cooper, 31 years old, has written this tremendous book.
I had him on the show last night.
I know you did. He was great. I saw it was great. Yeah. Of essays, Jack Ray is his name, about his life and times and that sort of stuff. I'm standing by the front door. Out of the rain emerges the most smiling face of Emily Rooney I have ever seen. You were so excited and so joyful. Why was so much joy spread?
I've been watching NASCAR.
Exactly.
I suddenly understood what it is about NASCAR, why everybody tunes in.
No, but it wasn't just NASCAR you were watching. What particular part of NASCAR?
Well, I was waiting to see, I was looking really for Danica Patrick.
Yeah.
It turns out that was the pre-500, so it was the 200 laps. She had been kicked out. Something went wrong. She was out of it. It was the crash.
Yeah.
So I see. I see the first one. You know, all the front runners, and the first one takes out like four or five cars, including the front runners. And we think, well, we're over with that. Before you know it, the second one takes place. I thought I'm already in for a diamond for a dollar here. I'll watch the race to the end. This unbelievable crash takes place where the front of the car is sheared in half. It goes tumbling over this fence into the crowd. 28 people are injured.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just. And eight other cars, I think, are in this crash up at the same time.
And you were reveling in this, Emily?
No, I wasn't reveling in it. I was riveted by it.
You were riveted by it.
Can I understand?
I don't think of her as a NASCAR.
Well, that's my
question. No, I know.
Wait a second. Is the entry point, if Danica Patrick had not been in that, and by the way, she was sitting in the pole position, she ended up coming in eighth the next day, whatever. If Danica Patrick, would you have been watching a NASCAR race?
No.
Oh, so it was all about the woman and the thing.
It was.
Not quite as odd.
So now you're ready to go up to Loudoun in New Hampshire and have your head in the
I can see you driving one of those babies. Can you imagine that?
I have a couple of fast cars. So
that's not true.
Your father had all those
fast
cars.
I have that car now.
Don't you have some?
And I have a car now that's one of the fastest on the road.
Well, what
is it?
One of the fastest on the road?
It is. It's called an Audi TTRS.
And how fast might that go?
0 to 60 in 3.9.
Do you ever take it to a track or anything? This is even better than I expected. But
she's driving through the back streets of the back
by
bay
the way,
at 90 miles an hour.
It's a six-speed, 400 horsepower engine.
Of course. What else we
got? Oh, my God. Four on the floor?
Six on the floor.
Six on the floor.
Okay, do you actually shift?
Yes, I shift.
God.
Six times.
Do
now, before
like
we leave
hat,
this.
Like Snoopy, the Red Baron,
hats.
With a scarf?
I'm saying, can you imagine? I'm serious about this. Paul Newman, second half of his life, was about race cars. Can you imagine yourself doing this?
Could you see that thing where they do that drafting thing?
No.
Where they are... not even a half an inch off the back of the other car. That I never seen NASCAR before, but I sort of understood it.
Now, by the way, to understand Emily a little better, in case you missed this thing, because we're obsessed with her obsession, here's a little sound from that moment when all the cars started going into the grandstand. Nobody died.
One?
Yeah. Well, whatever.
Too bad. It wasn't more.
Here it is from a week ago Saturday. Here it is. Okay, enough. Are you a little ashamed of yourself now?
I couldn't believe that they're calling who won the race. It didn't matter who won the race.
How about the fact that they had a race the next day?
They had to fix the fence.
And that's all they did.
What are the rules? Do people keep driving when there's a crash like that? Or they call a timeout?
They do this flag thing and then everybody has to go. They had to stop the race for about 20. That's why I was late to the party. They had to stop the race for about 25 minutes while they cleared up all the debris.
Annie.
And then it's almost like sailboating. Like, I don't really understand how a sailboat race starts either. It's all this, you know, milling around, and all of a sudden, bang, it starts. That's what they did with this.
Okay,
everybody was kind of positioning.
We're learning now that it's Emily NASCAR Rooney, and now I'm learning something else about you.
I've confessed this before.
Your life on the MBTA.
Yeah. What life on the MBTA?
Yeah, go ahead.
I've never ridden a T.
Never once.
I have confessed this in the past.
Never once.
Never once.
Never the green line.
The green line?
The green
You've
line.
You've never been
That's
on
where
the
Where does it go? Listen, tell me why I need it. Tell me why I need it. You can't take it here. to Brighton.
Well, we're going to explain how
you can
in a minute.
I walked to Fenway Park, walked to the North End, walked to the South End, walked to Copley Square. I walked to the movies.
Did you drive to that party in Cambridge you were talking
about? That was tough. That's tough to get to. I had to punch in. That's like foreign travel. I had to punch in a navigator for
but
that.
But it's environmentally friendly. I mean, I assume you support public transportation, do you not?
Sure, sure.
So, but you're not supporting if it turns out you're driving your six-speed to Cambridge.
Listen, you know, transportation in Massachusetts, Boston, is not as easy as it is in New York. I took the train every day when I was in New York for 4 years.
It's better.
First of all, the trains come every 6 minutes.
Yep.
There's no stopping. They take you right to the destination you want. You know, you pick the train you want to get on. It doesn't stop in, you know, Old Saybrook and Alewife. You know, it takes you right to where you're going. It takes you to New York City. You don't have that.
So if I said to you, Emily, what's the gift you would most like someone to give you? Give me an example. What have you been
trying? A Charlie card.
Okay, if I were to say to you, I will give you the gift of your dreams, if you were to take the T to work on Monday here at GBH, would you have any clue as to how to get from your house? Am I allowed to say you live
no
in
clue.
Beacon Hill?
Yeah.
Can you?
I don't live in Beacon Hill.
Wherever,
in Back Bay.
Back Bay, whatever it is.
Back
would you have
Bay.
Any idea
Big
how to get there from
Jim.
Back
get
Bay?
With it.
Do you have any idea?
I don't even know which station I would walk to. I mean, Copley is the closest.
You go to Arlington Station is the answer.
That's a long walk already.
Okay, well, Copley's
we timed it. Actually, we timed it. It is a 7-minute walk. We know your address.
Okay.
7 minutes from your house.
All right. I'm carrying two bags and a purse. All my clothes and I carry a big knapsack. Sometimes I bring all of my paddleball gear or my tennis gear, so I got to put that on my back too.
What is paddleball gear?
It's an outdoors,
gear.
You know.
Is
Can
it,
you hire an assistant to walk you to the subway or no? No, I'm serious. Do you not say to yourself, when I heard this last week,
when was the last time you took it?
We're not talking about
me. I knew it.
No, can I get in all seriousness? Yeah. Do you ever say to yourself, because you're a groundbreaking kind of woman. Yeah, I'm serious. Do you ever say to yourself, on Saturday, I'm going to ride the T just to see what
now
real
it's
people
almost
live
like? I'll
like.
Tell you something. My daughter was like a subway rat from the time she was like 10 years old. I lived out in the suburbs and she couldn't wait for me to take her anywhere. She knew how to work those subways and the trains. And so she's like my role model. She used to tease me too. So I said, we're at two extremes here. You got my daughter and then me.
Yeah. Our number is 877-301-8970.
Oh, no, I'm not taking
calls on this. Intend actually to do this, but if it turns out you want to speak to Emily and try to convince her
Joe Pescatore's
that a
call
life
me.
On the T, he's a spokesperson for the operation, would be a better life. 877-301-8970. How about other alternative transportation? They're the bike wars, for lack of a better expression, in Boston and surrounding communities.
A bike would be very tough for me. I know I took calls one day from people saying, well, it was only 30 days a year that would be inconvenient. I mean, with all the stuff I carry, you know, my jewelry, my clothing, my blah. It's like I can't.
Emily, the sidecar.
The sidecar.
I think that's
a really you know what I could take is one of those little, what are those things called with the two wheels in the back and the one in the front?
It's like tricycle.
A,
it's called.
No. It's like a little
where
motorcycle
someone
thing.
Rides
it's the,
you in the
it's
front.
It's the new motorcycle. I don't know.
Oh, I've actually seen that thing.
How about the Segway?
Where are you?
I think
I've
those are very.
I have done a Segway.
Yeah,
they're
really attractive.
Do you know I appeared in the movie America at 15 miles an hour?
They took a picture of Jim's butt from below riding the Segway. It was a very fetching
shot. Hey, on the bike thing, though, seriously, Marjorie and I in our years on the radio and what we have had this debate endlessly. Marjorie is in the anti-cycling side of the debate. I am on the pro-cycling side, even though I have to be candid. I'm not exactly cycling around a lot. And obviously, there was this horrible story out of Wellesley where this 41-year-old was killed. And the grand jury, despite the state police, the Wellesley police, and the Norfolk County DA seeking an indictment against this truck driver who not only killed a cyclist, but it was captured on video. There is this endless back. We had Nicole Friedman, the bike czar of Boston yesterday. Where are you in this whole question of whether bikes even belong in places like Boston?
I'm actually the pro side of the bikes with a bunch of caveats. I feel like I'm very aware and very conscientious when I'm speeding along in my, you know, 6-speed and all that. Looking out the back. No, I feel like I'm very aware of where bikes are, especially downtown, because I'm aware of the pedestrians, I'm aware of the bikers, because I know when I'm walking, I feel like the cars aren't that aware of me. So I feel like I'm always looking out for the bikes. I don't feel like they're aware that we're looking out for them, too. It's like they never stop. If I'm about to take a right into one of the alleys or something like that, and there's a, they don't seem to have the same sense of what's happening as I do. And I guess they would say the same thing about most of the drivers.
Well, see, my thesis on this, and we discussed this a little bit with Nicole, I feel really strongly about this thing, is that if cops enforce traffic laws against cyclists. And by the way, they're subject to the exact same laws we are, that they couldn't run a red light.
And not,
but if they did it for a month at the major intersection, like Central Square in Cambridge, mm-hmm. or in downtown Boston, my sense is if everybody got tickets, they'd stop breaking the law. If they stopped breaking the law, a lot of the resentment that's in the heart of the drivers would start to dissipate.
To defend the bicyclists, I was noticing that the bike lane on Huntington Avenue right near Symphony Hall, I thought, this is a joke. The bike lane is, you know, right in front of all this. There's a lot of people coming in and out, a lot of juggling.
It's terrible.
Parking. And then it becomes four lanes of traffic, two going one way, two going the other. And it's a bike lane there. It doesn't fit.
Now, Emily Rooney, you're a big jock. You mentioned paddleball and tennis and all that.
Jockette, is that what you said?
Do you wear one of those spandex orange outfits like the bicyclists do? I mean, I think that's part of the problem with the bicyclists. It's those color-coordinated, you know, like they're all
in the Tour de France. Some of them are real serious bikers.
They are real serious bikers. Those are the ones that will beat you with driving down Commonwealth Avenue that
exactly.
I find very annoying. You have to pass them, you know, between Arlington
spandex.
And Berkeley.
When you see somebody in the same shape
spandex?
I'm in wearing spandex and everything is bulging from every... It is such a foul look.
The shorts stand up, you know, by themselves, the bike shorts. Did you know that?
Yeah, those are pretty cool.
Yeah,
and it also highlights certain things that really don't deserve to be highlighted.
It's to protect things.
Yeah, but for women, they give you too much hip. I don't wear those.
Oh, really?
Hey, one more transportation thing, since this is Transportation Friday with Emily Rooney. One of your other complaints, we were talking to this morning about the MBTA thing. This is another sort of, do we call them pet peeves anymore?
Yeah.
A pet peeve of Emily Rooney.
I can't believe this.
Voice it, if you will. Go ahead.
This is true. I drive a lot on Storrow Drive. Well, every day, both ways. But it only matters at night. And it happened to me again the night that we were all going out to that Cambridge event.
Mm-hmm.
People drive on Storrow Drive without their lights on. I see them every night, though. I would say I exaggerate a little bit. I said one in every 10, but one in every 30 or 40. The cars do not have their lights on. Is it because it's this time of year and they haven't quite, you know, gotten into the fact that it – I don't know. They think it's lighter longer than it is or – Also, don't most of your lights just come on automatically?
But if you turn them off, they don't come on automatically.
Yeah.
If you keep it on all the time, which most of us do.
I don't have a six-on-the-floor sports car.
But why does it bother me?
Because of the danger?
It is dangerous.
Yeah, it is dangerous.
On Storrow Drive.
So what are you doing?
Dangerous.
You're hanging out in the corner there with your little
I'm just driving. I'm watching people coming at me. I'm watching people coming by me. There was that guy who followed me all the way to Cambridge. That was 6:30 at night. And it was dark.
Why did he follow you all the way to Cambridge?
Well, he must have been coming to the house. Must have been one of the...
Before we get to politics for a second, can I just sum up the transportation portion of the open mic with Emily Rooney?
She has some pet peeves along
She
his
is
lines,
wildly
clearly.
Into NASCAR and sort of got off on the crash. Is that a fair statement?
Yes.
So, okay, fine. Number two... You don't do bike, you don't cycle, but you support the cyclists.
I do.
Okay, fine. Three, you are unbelievably pained by the fact that either 1 out of 10 or 1 out of 30 of the nighttime drivers on Star
don't
Drive
don't have their lights on.
But most significantly, she has never
ridden the T.
Now, do you think I don't want to talk about dying, but it's a little. But do
should
you think
I?
You will
before
have,
I die?
Do you think you will die without ever having ridden the T? Think about this.
I'm really
Take
thinking about it because I'm trying
need.
To think where I
this
would
is
go.
Emily
you would
go,
rush
it
from
go
the back
the
bay to Government Center on the Green Line. Yeah. It would be a lot easier than
Okay, Emily,
than
I'm going to tell you where you can go. Here's the
that's
lot, the producers are saying go to Suffolk Downs. Here's what you do.
Suffolk Downs.
You walk 7 minutes to Arlington Station.
Carrying 40 pounds of stuff.
Fine.
Okay.
Or get an aide to do it. Get an aide. Marjorie,
yeah, right.
can you
I'll
help
have
her?
An aide here at
I'll come
okay,
over and
fine.
Help her.
Then you take the T, the Green Line, to towards Boston College.
Boston College.
You get off at
That's the slowest one.
It doesn't matter what
it's
it is.
Very
you get no, actually, this only takes 37 minutes. All thing. You get off at
Kenworth.
Can I finish this, please? You get off at Kenworth Station.
Blocks.
Kenworth now,
Station.
You take the bus. So you
I'm
can
intimidated
do
by Kenworth.
A multimodal kind of thing, as Nicole Friedman called it yesterday. You take the 57 bus from Watertown Yard.
Yeah.
Whoops. Towards Watertown Yard.
Towards.
And listen, here's the best part. After you've walked to Arlington Station, after you've taken the T to Kenmore Station, after you've ridden the 57 bus, when you get off, wherever
where
it is, you're at Cambridge Street, at Gordon's, I don't know where it is, you only have to walk 13 minutes to WGBH.
So what's my total travel time?
It's not that bad. It's 7 minutes walking at the top,
an
7 minutes
half.
On the T, 10 minutes on the bus, and 37 minutes. How long does it take you to drive in your 6-speed to get here? How long does it take you on an average day?
Door to door. 12 minutes.
Okay,
well,
fine. But
that's a big
So it
deal,
might be
Jim.
20. But you know what the big plus is? The big plus is if you take the T home, which you'd obviously do if you took the T here, you don't have to worry about people with no lights on Sorry Drive. Okay, on politics for a second,
Tim
Emily Rooney.
Cahill.
In, what is it, 42 minutes, the Tim Cahill thing that ended the first time in a hung jury, right?
Yeah,
the hung,
in December, yeah.
What's happening at 2 o'clock, Emily?
So he's in court. He's agreed to accept a $100,000 fine, a reprimand from the Ethics Committee. Interesting thing is he can raise the money because the Globe had said he could take it out of his campaign funds. He can't do that, but he can raise the money.
A defense fund, kind of.
And apparently there had been some negotiating about, you know, his ability to practice, have a securities license and all that. That's off the table, so they didn't take that away from him.
So he can continue to practice.
Apparently he can. That's not going to be.
So is that an equitable? You wrote a lot about this, Marjorie, at the time of the first trial, the Cahill thing. And for those that don't remember, the whole issue was as the treasurer, when he was running for governor as the third candidate in the Deval Patrick, Charlie Baker, Tim Cahill situation, was he using lottery ads to benefit his campaign? And Martha Coakley, the attorney general's contention. There were emails back and forth, conversations, which suggest there was improper, if not illegal, coordination between his campaign and the lottery. What was your position at the time?
My position was, and we should point out, this was a new law that had just been passed, and that enabled Martha Coakley to prosecute him. I think the public's impression, and my impression was, politicians are always using their office to further themselves. Mm-hmm. I mean, Tom Menino's got his name on everything in the city of Boston. Deval Patrick has his name on everything. When Andrea Cabral is the sheriff of Suffolk County, when she was running for re-election, you know, right when you get off the turnpike there by the Suffolk County Jail, there's a big picture of
Andrea
Menino's
Cabral. Name does not appear immediately before the election, unlike Cahill's ads at the lottery appeared in incredibly timely fashion to help his campaign.
It was pushing the
envelope.
His name
was not in it.
I understand that.
Right.
But people
pushing the envelope. But I think the problem was, as a lot of prosecutions lately in the state of Massachusetts, particularly in the federal courts, people are looking at this and saying, Tim Cahill could go to jail.
I think there isn't a soul in the universe, to use one of Jim's favorite phrases.
Thank you. There's not a soul in the universe.
Who wanted to see him go to jail. And I believe that probably included Martha Coakley.
I think that's true, too.
I think she felt like she had to pursue that case under the law,
and
but didn't really want to see him go to jail.
Because she was being criticized from so many quarters for not going after previous prosecutions, like former State Senator Diane Wilkerson, who was stuffing bra in her
bra
in your cash is not a crime,
it's
by the way.
It's not a crime.
Cash
she did it the other way around
is a crime.
On camera.
But by the way, in defense of Coakley, her position in defending herself, both in the Scott Brown race and others, was in the federal law was much more amenable to prosecution in some of those cases, she contends, than state law was, which is what she had to operate under.
And you know what else about Tim Cahill? And this is the other thing that so many times people forget. If you are prosecuted, you're going broke to defend yourself.
Oh, I mean, I heard his bill from Jeffrey Denner was $1 million+.
That's
his lawyer,
for those that don't know.
So Tim Cahill, who's got four daughters, not a wealthy guy, has $1 million+ legal bill.
Plus the $100,000.
Plus the $100,000 for doing something that I think most of us think a lot of politicians do. He may have pushed it a little bit further.
Yeah. But the last thing about this, though, just for a second, Martha Coakley's going to be with us, I think, sometime next week, we hope, or soon thereafter. What power? She didn't have the ability, did she? I guess she could have negotiated up front for a fine to resolve this thing prior to proceeding with this case. Could she? Of course she could have done that. Could she not, or could she?
I don't know.
I think she could have, but I think she thought she could win this case. And Jeffrey,
I have to say, the hard...
Tim Cahill was not going to do that. He wasn't going to admit any wrongdoing. I don't know. This thing's happening, as you say, in 40 minutes, but I don't know if he has to admit wrongdoing. I suppose by paying a fine, you're admitting wrongdoing, but I don't know what he has to say about it specifically.
Well, that was the initial reaction. Why not just a fine? Why not an ethics fine?
Well, then it should have gone before the Ethics Commission and leave the Attorney General out of this. And that's what Jeffrey Denner believed. It always should have been an issue before the Ethics Commission.
One last political question. What do you think about John Conley's chances against Tom Menino?
Darn good.
Do you really?
I think so, too. I think he's the first credible candidate.
I'm out on a limb. I think he could win it.
I think there's a sense that...
Why is that?
Because Tom Menino is 70 years old. He's been the mayor forever and a day. He does have some health problems. John Conley is... When you think about the people that have run against Menino before, I think he's the best. He's clean as a whistle.
You know,
he's got two children in the system.
It may be even one notch up from that. This is the first person I've sat with, you know, eyeball to eyeball since I've been, you know, covering the mayor's race for the last, 30 years or whatever, where I thought... You really had a credible challenger. Michael Flaherty came close. This guy is the real deal.
What does he have that Michael Flaherty didn't have? I mean, Flaherty lost. Menino got 57%, which I think was the closest race he's been in. What did former city council president Flaherty not have that Connolly does have?
A universal appeal.
Yes.
You know?
I think there was a bit of an operator sense about Michael
Flaherty. Kind of like insular.
Yeah.
You know, he came from the neighborhood, and this guy has a broader appeal. And I think the schools thing is a good hitching point to get into the race. He's going to have to broaden that a little bit, not just hammer the school thing. But
do you think he can keep saying, every single interview I've seen him do, either in the newspaper, your show, my show, here, an hour after he declared, he goes out of his way to say, quote, I love the mayor. I think the mayor has done wonderful things. And I assume that's strategically so that he's not painting the guy
we
as a bad guy because everybody loves Menino.
Everybody does it too. All the media does it too. But I'm going out on another limb there, and I'm going to say Carol Johnson will not be starting the 2013 school year as the superintendent of schools. She will not be here.
Why?
That's my prediction. And that's going to be another good thing for John Connolly, because he's been saying all along that you know, she's ineffective, that she's done a bad job, and she's got this whole thing going on with her husband.
Husband is ill now.
He's very
yeah.
ill, and I think it's Tennessee that she's been going back and forth there. But that's what I'm going to predict.
Okay, the final thing from me, Emily Rooney, you were on top of virtually everything. So
everything.
What happens today at 5? Well, not exactly, but what happens at sundown today, Emily Rooney?
Okay, well, this is this thing, I think, where people are supposed to turn off their gadgets.
It's not this thing. It's called the National Day of Unplugging.
Turn off your gadgets and kids.
I am deplugging myself.
You are not.
I'll ask the questions.
So
you don't have to ask me questions.
So full of baloney.
I am deplugging or unplugging.
You can ask me if I am?
Are you going to do that?
No.
Of course not. Okay, that's the end of that.
No, it's not. What's on Beat the Press?
Oh, I forgot about that. Beat the Press. By the way, can I tell you something? You're sort of, I mean, do we sort of, I don't know what we do on TV. I don't know what it is. You're Beat the Press is one of the best shows on television. I love
it. It's our favorite. It's actually the most watched of all the Greater Bostons. It's also the hardest one to put together.
7 o'clock Friday night. What's happening tonight?
Oh, I don't know. We got a whole bunch of stuff coming up.
Do you know who's on?
Actually, we have a couple
just
good ones.
Just know that either.
You know this awful, we were just talking about that awful, there's a different one. The Wellesley case, that young girl who was murdered by the boyfriend admitted murdering her. But the
Fujita.
Judge for some, Fujita, the judge, Lariat, has for some reason banned tweeting in the courtroom, yet he's allowing live blogging. He allows tweeting outside the courtroom. It's like one of these things where he's kind of reaching and put a limit. Not that I have any, I don't think tweeting is appropriate in a trial. But so he's banned that. We're going to take a look at that. We're also going to look at this. You know, all these people are now buying these internet devices so they can watch TV through the internet. It doesn't count in Nielsen ratings. Things like all the people who watch Downton Abbey on on demand or TiVo or whatever, doesn't count. So we're going to look at how Nielsen's going to fix that.
Okay, that's going to be at 7 o'clock tonight.
Wait. And you're going to be
you're
on
coming
it.
On, what too.
I am.
Aren't we supposed to say it's called forward promotion? Forward
promotion, that's
forwardly
right. I will be
promote.
There in my purple shirt. Good thing I wore
before you go
shirt
away,
today.
I'm serious about this. If I appeared at your house with advance notice, I'm serious, next week sometime in the morning, and I was willing to carry... I'm serious. Your crap, your stuff, whatever
it
is you carry with.
It's got to be raining, though.
Would you do the subway deal with me?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, I'll talk to you soon. Emily Rooney, we love her. Watch her on Beat the Press.
To carry your spandex.
And she's with us every Friday at 1 o'clock on Open Mic. Thanks, Emily. You're great.
Okay, here's a question. What do famed musician Livingston Taylor and comedian Janine Garofalo have in common? We're going to answer that on our Friday news quiz. That's next on Boston Public Radio 89.7 WGBH.